Well, good morning, golfers. It's 9 a.m., and you know what that means. It's time to join us on the tee for 1 hour of Golf Talk. The show is Golfers on Golf. We focus on the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. We want to thank you to tuning in to WSBC, 1240 a.m., and WCFJ, 1470 a.m. Here in studio this morning, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson, alongside PGA Life member Billy Berger and the owner-operator of the world's premier indoor golf training facility, the White Pines Golf Dome. It's Mike Monroe. And hey,
good morning, guys.
Good morning,
good
Mike.
Morning.
Good morning, Billy. Our fourth, of course, is Rory Spears, longtime sports journalist. And Rory's going to join us at some point this morning from the road. He is traveling through the state of Wisconsin this week, which he has dubbed recently the Myrtle Beach of the Midwest because of all the all the projects that are going on just north of the border up in the up in the cheese state.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I don't even know if that's fair to Wisconsin. When you look at the incredible golf courses up there, the Black Wolves and the Erin Hills and the new courses that Michael Kaiser is going to be building, the Bog, many others, it's a mecca for great golf courses. I look at Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach has some wonderful golf courses. No place, I think, in the country with more golf courses, and most of them are extremely good, but they're not great. They're very good. The courses that are up in Wisconsin, the Whistling Straits, etc., those are great golf courses. So I would call it the mecca of golf in the Midwest.
Well, you know, Billy, it started, you know, 1982, Century World opened up, really part of the Century Insurance complex there. Heavy community involvement from that insurance company. So as part of their sports complex, they built a world-class golf course under the architectural guidance of Robert Trent Jones, Jr. And for years, guys, you heard about people traveling up to Wisconsin. They were going to go to Century World. They were going to see the famed par 3 that was adorned with flowers. And, you know, along the way, you end up with Kohler Company and the American Club and the Black Wolf Run Resort opening up with ultimately 36 great holes. And you
the
add
river and the meadow, yeah.
The river course, courses. The meadow course. You add on to that Whistling Straits, the Irish course, Erin Hills. Now Mike Kaiser getting on board with Sand Valley. You know, on it goes. And I think another project coming up for Kohler. So, gosh, here we are a little bit outside of Milwaukee and north of Chicago and east of the state, you know, Minneapolis and Minnesota. And, Mike, like you say, a mecca for golf. But, Billy, you know, back in the 80s, the road trip to Wisconsin was Century World. And, you know, maybe you've got the Lausonia courses as well now, you know.
Right.
But the road trip's changed a little going to Wisconsin.
Boy, it sure has.
55 Chevy.
55 Chevy. Watch your step, Mike. I had one, you know, and that you could pull over and adjust your tappets or do anything you want. Being
that's
a non-mechanic,
that's his new car.
With the non-mechanic, and it wasn't a bad car to sleep in either. You know.
Did you do that a little bit, Billy?
Once in a while, you know. Yeah, I think I invented the alarm clock for the road. You know what the alarm clock for the road was? When you're driving all night, and the last 2 hours you just couldn't make it at 4 o'clock, I'd pull into a gas station right next to the gas pump. And that guy opening that gas station, that owner, would be beating on my window to get away from his gas pump, you know. That was an automatic alarm clock.
Yeah, that was probably, gas was probably about 39 cents a gallon, $39.99.
It was a little more than that.
I'll tell you what, I remember it when it wasn't that much more than that. It has sure changed, but yeah, Wisconsin golf is marvelous, obviously. Michigan golf is great, too. We're really lucky in Chicago. We've got some, you know, a couple hundred of the best public fee golf courses, and then you get outside Chicago, you go to Wisconsin, Michigan, and you're truly playing some of the greatest golf courses in the entire country. So, yeah, we're looking forward to talking to Rory in about 5 minutes or so from Century World. Have you ever played Century World?
You know, I was in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, up in the, must have been the late 80s, early 90s. So I remember that golf course really in its first version, and it will be interesting to see through their renovations, how much it's changed. I know that the original golf course was a little over 6,900 yards, built on a beautiful 200-acre property, really fun golf course, and some of the associates of Robert Trent Jones Jr. went back in there. Bruce Charlton, Jay Blasey, who's a Wisconsin native, went in to do the updates, and as fate would have it, not a great winter to be completing a project or having a grow-in. They're off to a little bit later start this year than I think they intended. But, you know, Mike, should be exciting to see the changes. Yourself, you spent much time...
I went up there many years ago, and what hole is it? It's one of the par threes. They call it the flower hole, and they've planted...
I believe it's the 16th or 17th hole. That's late in the round.
Yeah. You know, it was kind of interesting. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he had mentioned to me, he says, every golf course I play... The 17th hole is a par three. He says, think about it. How many golf courses do you play where the 17th hole isn't a par three? And there's a lot of truth there, isn't there?
You know, not to get off the subject, you know, Itasca has one of the toughest par threes. You know, the angle of the green, the slope is, if you get above the pin, there's not a chance that you can make three. Not a chance, you know.
Isn't it true? So, yeah, I played out there the
right,
other day.
You're right, 17th holes are... Yeah, I never thought of that.
And everybody's going through their mind and saying what, you know, Augusta, obviously, the 17th isn't a par three. But
well, I'm going to tell you what, in DuPage Golf, we try to get one step ahead of everybody, you know, for Oak Meadows and Maple Meadows. At both those courses, our 16th hole is a par three.
How about the new redesigned golf course you're building
in
there,
the proposed plans, it's going to be the 17th will be a par three. See, touché, Mike.
You did it wrong, right?
Oh, man. Well, hey, lots to come up this hour. We thank you for tuning in and joining us. Please stay on the air with us. We got lots to come on Golfers on Golf. We'll be back.
Often they will quickly wipe the smile right off your face. You'll need more than extra glue to keep your tan in place. So keep your head down and your chin up, arms straight, and shift your weight properly. While stepping on the tee, be wearing your spectacles for the long shots, but don't make a spectacle out of yourself, or you'll feel smaller than an elf. And don't stand too close to the ball after you've hit it.
The last three putts I hit today, I thought all three were going in, so I just need to keep hitting putts like that, and if I keep doing that, you know, a bunch of them will fall like they did today, and... yeah, but, you know, that it would have been nice to tie the lead after today with that putt.
If you haven't tested your golf game at the Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton, what are you waiting for? Now is the time. All three nines are back up and running from the Greg Martin renovation that has the golf course both challenging and more fun than ever to play, even for the higher handicappers. Golfers will enjoy the classic look squared-off design tee boxes and the newly redone bunkers with the white tour sand. Want to hit a bucket or get some practice in? Arrowhead has a great practice facility, and Arrowhead is also home to one of the best 19th holes in the Chicagoland area. Enjoy the patio that overlooks the finishing holes of the golf course. So come on out and enjoy the Arrowhead Golf Club located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton. Call 630-653-5800. That's 630-653-5800. Or visit arrowheadgolfclub.org. That's arrowheadgolfclub.org for tee times and more.
DuPageGolf.com is the internet home for the Forest Preserve District of DuPage Golf Facilities, including Oak Meadows in Addison, Maple Meadows in Wooddale, and Green Meadows in Westmont. Enjoy fabulous golf at Forest Preserve prices, including the historic Oak Meadows layout where golf legend Ben Hogan won the 1941 Chicago Open. Learn about DuPage Golf's two 18-hole championship courses, two 9-hole value courses, and our all-grass tee practice range featuring PGA and LPGA golf instruction. DuPage Golf's best internet specials are only on DuPageGolf.com. Find online tee times and more at DuPageGolf.com.
Golfers, if you want to play an old classic-style golf course that's only found in Chicago at the private clubs, drive north just under 3 hours from downtown Chicago and play the Courses of Lawsonia in Green Lake, Wisconsin. Lawsonia has 36 holes. The oldest course is the 1930 classic Chicago architect William Langford-designed Links course and the 1980s Rocky Rockamore-designed Woodlands course. Now under the management of Oliphant Golf, Lawsonia has redesigned the 19th hole and created the Langford Pub. Stay and plays are now available, so head north and play the courses that the members of Chicago's top private clubs make the trek north to play. Visit Lawsonia Golf online at lawsonia.com or call 920-294-3320. That's 920-294-3320.
I think one of the big things for me, especially in major championships, is getting off to good starts and being right up there at the start. And I've been able to do that today, and you know, hopefully I can continue to be up there for the rest of the tournament. But yeah, you see guys out there this morning shoot 5 and 6 under par, and you know that there's scores out there. So and there's opportunities. You got the par fives. You got a few, you know, shorter.
All right, it's 9-11. You're tuned into Golfers on Golf. That was the voice of one Mr. Rory McIlroy, who's looking to add another major's notch to his belt. And actually, singing our way out to the break, Michael, that was one of your buddies.
Yeah, wonderful guy. Larry Nestor with his song, Keep Your Head Down and Your Chin Up. We're going to have to listen to that a little bit more often, guys. I absolutely love that song.
And it's, good advice, too.
I think so, you know.
What was that again? Keep your chin up and your...
That's why we'll have to listen again. I want to remind everyone... This segment sponsored by the Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton, 27 holes, and one of the great 19th hole, or 28th holes in Chicago. See arrowheadgolfclub.org. And like I said, you know, Rory McIlroy has the lead going into Sunday here in a major. From one Rory to the next, we have our very own Rory Spears, who's led his way into the state of Wisconsin to check out all the things we were talking about before the break.
I hope he brought his passport.
he may need it to get back into Illinois.
Exactly.
But hey, Rory, you're on the line. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, we're getting ready to tee off, but I have to tell you, we're overlooking one of the most beautiful holes in golf, and it's known as the Flower Hole, the 16th hole, the par 3 at Century World here in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And they've redone this hole. They've redone this golf course. It looks absolutely beautiful, and it's been a interesting weekend in Wisconsin. We started the trip yesterday with a revisit up to Mike Kaiser's new project, Sand Valley, which is just a little over a half hour south of here, and saw the progress. Bill Corr, Ben Crenshaw working on the first routing. They're both going to be on the property this week. Ben Crenshaw making his first visit coming up later this week there, and I think that golf course is really going to start to take shape. A lot of construction done, a lot more to go next year, and they'll be teeing it up there in 2017. And then we continued up here to Stevens Point, and we're overlooking Century World, and what a beautiful golf course this is. If anyone's been up here before, they need to make the trek again. They've made a lot of improvements. The course, I'm told, will reopen to the public on September 12th. And Ed Stevenson, I'm standing here with a gentleman that you know from your process over at Oak Meadows, and he's had a lot to do with the renovation work here at Century World, and I'm going to put him on the phone right now.
Hey, Ed, Jay Blasey here.
Hey, good morning, Jay Blasey. Welcome to the show. As Rory handed it off, I was gonna make him a bet, and I'm sure I would have won this one. Are you wearing Badger red today, Jay?
I am. I'm wearing red and white. There's no doubt about it.
Great. Well, hey, guys, Jay Blasey with Jay Blasey Design has been part of the Century World project, on site as the architect, as well as, other awesome projects throughout the country, including one coming up we're going to see a lot of in 2015 at Chambers Bay, where the U.S. Open will be contested. So, Jay, hey, thanks for spending a few moments with us and our listeners, and maybe you can bring us up to speed a little bit on some of the changes at Century World for our listeners that maybe saw it back in the original version that was done in the 80s.
Absolutely, absolutely. For those who have been there before, they know that Century World is part of the Century Insurance Campus. It opened in the early 80s and was really the first destination golf course in the state. And, after 32 years, There was an opportunity to look at some improvements. You know, we needed a new irrigation system, and some of the trees had grown up over that time and were creating some turf issues and things like that. So it really started out as a project to try and help improve the agronomics and the infrastructure. And while we were doing that, we had an opportunity to look to see if there were any chances to make the golf course more fun and more playable, add a little bit more variety. So we're very, very excited about how things have come together. It's been a neat process for me. I spent 11 years working with Robert Trent Jones, too, and so this is a project that we've done together. I know Century World was very, very special for Bobby, one of his early golf courses, and he had a strong connection with the original visionary, Mr. John Jonas, and so it's been a real treat to be able to come back and try and repolish the gem, if you will.
Well, very cool, Jay. And, you mentioned Mr. John Jonas, part of making really that whole complex part of the community in Century World and really something for the state of Wisconsin. You yourself, a Madison area guy, Wisconsin native, I guess the chance to be back in your home state where your Badgers play their home games must have also been a pretty special opportunity for you personally.
Very, very special. Yep, born and raised in Madison and went to the UW and lifelong Badger. And I live in California now, but Wisconsin will always be home. So it was a rare opportunity to come back. And the people here in central Wisconsin and everybody I had a chance to spend time with at Century just couldn't have been any more welcoming, treated me like family. So it was really a special project.
Jay, Mike Monroe here. We were just talking about all the great golf courses up in Wisconsin, and obviously we're going to include Century World as one of those. For those people that played in the past but haven't been up there to and are going to go up there to see the new changes, what's going to stand out? What's going to be the big differences between what they saw before and what they'll see real soon?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the first thing that will step out, will jump out is just some, like we talked about earlier, some of the conditioning and the infrastructure stuff will pop out. You know, we've been able to kind of put the white sand back in, which was part of the original vision of Mr. Jonas. So that's a real eye catcher. They'll probably notice some new holes. The majority of the course is pretty much in the same spot, but we do have two brand new holes. And then we have seven other holes that either start or finish in a little bit of a different position. So there's some changes to the routing that we think are going to make the golf course more fun, more playable, and add a lot more variety. And then probably the last thing is just really once they get within 50 yards of the green, I think there'll be a dramatic difference in the types of shots that they have the opportunity to play. With the original layout, you were either hitting out of a bunker or rough grass. And here you'll have an opportunity. There's a lot of short grass around the greens. Some of it is above the green, feeding a ball onto the green, and others are fall-away slopes. And so there's an opportunity to use a sand wedge, to putt with a hybrid, use your putter. We were out here yesterday, and one of the folks in our group was putting from 50 yards away. That was something you probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to see in the original layout. So we think it'll be great fun, and it's really going to make the golf course more fun and more playable for everybody.
Well, good. I think it will be exciting for people that love traveling into Wisconsin and playing their golf. Looking slightly ahead on the calendar, Jay, I mentioned earlier, you know, as I got to know you, it was great to hear some about your vision and how your talents were showcased at Chambers Bay, which is going to host the 2015 U.S. Open. And, as the world starts to turn their eyes to the West Coast and Chambers Bay, what can you tell our listeners that they can look forward to that they're going to see in a U.S. Open that maybe they haven't seen before at Chambers Bay?
Well, I think it will certainly be a one-of-a-kind open. It's the first ever U.S. Open in the Pacific Northwest. It's the first new golf course to host a U.S. Open since Hazeltine back in 1970. And it'll be the first U.S. Open ever played on fescue. Fescue grass, tees, fairways, and greens. So it'll be dramatically different. It's going to look and feel a lot more like a British Open than it will a U.S. Open. And I think you'll be seeing players having to think about the ground contours a lot more. When they're 20 or 200 yards away, they're going to need to be thinking about a little roll in front of the green the ground contours that might only be 2 feet high because their ball is going to be bouncing all over the place. So it'll be fun to watch.
Well, Jay, hey, you know, we're looking forward to it, and exciting for Chambers Bay, and really, I think a special tribute to, you know, to your contributions on that project is really, you know, one of the youngest architects to have such significant contributions to a U.S. Open golf course. And hey, before we let you go, turning our focus back to the state of Wisconsin, before you came on the air, we were talking about, how back in the 80s, really there was Century World, and then, of course, you get the Kohler properties and you get Erin Hills and now Mike Kaiser with Sand Valley. What is it about the state of Wisconsin? It's becoming this this mecca. And in an era where people say that golf's in trouble, here's all this great stuff being done in the state of Wisconsin. What are your, as a Wisconsin native, Jay, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, as a Wisconsin native, I just couldn't be any more excited. I think it's wonderful for the state. It's a great opportunity to showcase what's special about the state, and I think it's come together because of a couple factors. Number one, we do have some interesting land, whether it's Whistling Straits along Lake Michigan, or Erin Hills and the kettles of the glaciers or whatnot, or Century World up here in the Northwoods. So I think there's a lot of unique topography, and then obviously in order to make these things come together, you need some visionaries, and whether it was John Jonas originally here at Century World, or a guy like Herb Kohler or Mike Kaiser, or our new leader here at Century, Pete McPartland. I think it takes somebody with a long vision and a dedication, and we're very, very fortunate to have some of those.
Well, Jay, hey, thanks for spending time with us, and to our listeners, certainly check out Century World, and check out online. Check out Jay Blasey Design, You'll be amazed at some of the creativity and the projects that Jay's been involved with, and we can't wait for the continued impact you're going to have on the landscape of golf, Jay. So look forward to having our roads cross again down the road.
Thanks, Ed. Great to talk to you. I hope to see you the next time I'm in Chicago.
All right. I'll give you a go Badgers, too, and we'll see you soon, Jay. Thanks.
I'm Wisconsin. Talk to you later.
Once again, thanks, Jay. Once again, that was Jay Blasey. He is very talented young golf course architect, has been part of the Robert Trent Jones 2 team and working on his own as well under the name of Jay Blasey Design. And hey, guys, with that, I know we're up against our next break. We're going to come back with more Golfers on Golf.
Can only hit it 185. I use a 4-wood. I just can't drive. Can't really swing hard. I got a bad back.
Hey golfers, let's talk about Cantini Golf in Wheaton. The place is a golfer's paradise. 27 beautiful holes, a year-round golf academy, and even a 9-hole course just for kids. The best caddy program around, plus terrific hospitality, are like icing on the cake. For every kind of golfer, including those just learning the game, it's always a great day at Cantini. Check it out. Book a tee time today. CantiniGolf.com. That's CantiniGolf.com. Golfers, if you'd like to play one of the Chicagoland area's top public golf courses, why not check out Shepherd's Crook Golf Club, located on Green Bay Road in Zion. Shepherd's Crook is a Keith Foster-designed links-style golf course that has been compared to some of Ireland's great courses like Ballybunion, Waterville, and Lahinch. Shepherd's Crook is also easy on your wallet, both on and off the golf course. Whether it's the affordable green fees, food or beverage on the course or in the grill, or great pro shot merchandise, Shepherd's Crook is also perfect for your outing, whether it's for business, charity, or personal. Shepherd's Crook is located on Green Bay Road in Zion, and for more information, you can call 847-872-2080 or visit the course's website at shepherdscrook.org. That's Shepherd's Crook Golf Club in Zion.
I stood on the first tee for the first time this year like I was ready to play, ready to compete, and try to win a championship. And I hit the ugliest shot off first hole. I mean, it was so far left, I don't even know what to say. I was lucky it wasn't out of bounds. Horrific. And I did the same thing on the next hole and played the first 8 holes 2 over par. And yet I knew that it was there. Like, I knew my game was still there. I wasn't worried. I just had to make some confidence swings, and I hit some.
All right, Confident Swings, the voice of Phil Mickelson. It's 9:24, and you're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Ed Stevenson, alongside Bill Berger and Mike Monroe. And guys, Phil Mickelson, who just brought us in from the break, is just a few shots back of Rory McIlroy in the PGA Championship, and he'll be paired today with Ricky Fowler, who he's enjoyed playing with in previous Ryder Cups. And, you know, really should be an exciting conclusion to the final major of this 2014 season.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Eddie and Bill. There's a great leaderboard. I mean, whenever you get, you know, Rory and Phil and, you know, all of those guys up at the top, Ricky, you know, Jason Day, Oosthuizen, Stenson. It's a great leaderboard. I think it's shaping up to be a wonderful final round. And Valhalla is kind of a, you know, the 18th hole. Some of those holes coming in are pretty exciting too. So it's shaping up to be a great tournament.
Well, Nick Mickelson's got his high rough shot back. You know, he's amazing. He probably is the best at that shot of heavy rough, going way back to Nicklaus, having an edge on people. You know, at the 15th hole or the 15th, he's in 6 inches of rough, and he stiffs it about 3 feet, 4 feet. That's just incredible. He could even hit the green, you know. He's a pretty strong guy.
That's why he's one of the best. And, hey, guys, I just want to let you know this segment sponsored by Cantini Golf in Wheaton. 27 championship holes and a 9-hole course for kids. Cantini Golf in Wheaton. Visit CantiniGolf.com. Hey, speaking of the best, you know, the Illinois PGA likes to recognize the best work here in our state and in our section. And, you know, I think it does a great job of finding those that are truly deserving. I know that one of the individuals recognized this year, Mike, is someone that you've known very well for quite a while.
Yeah, I've known Gary for probably too long. We've known each other for almost 50 years. Gary was one of the top junior players growing up. I always tried to strive to be as good as he was and never could be. And he went on to do great things, 5-time Illinois Open champion, and played on tour, played at Wake Forest and Georgia Southern, and just a great guy, teaches out at Oak Brook in the White Pines Golf Dome. And like you say, Eddie, he just got named 2014 Illinois PGA Teacher of the Year. Gary Pins, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, it's great to hear from you.
Hey, yeah, always good to hear from you. Once again, congratulations on your honor being named Illinois PGA Teacher of the Year. It took a while, Gary. You've been teaching for a lot of years. Congratulations. And tell us a little bit about, you know, about your teaching and your philosophy and where you teach at and all that kind of stuff.
Well, thanks, Mike. You didn't have to reveal our age that much.
Well, it wasn't quite that long. We started early.
It's quite an honor to be honored by your peers for this award, and I'm trying to do the best I can to advance the game. I think the state of the game is a little bit in a downturn, and I think the reason mostly is it's too hard and too hard to learn. So we need to do things to try to correct it. And one of the things that I've done, I recognized a few years back that my students didn't have time to go to the range. They didn't have time to practice, but if I could give them a drill and they could take it home and do it, they could get some work done and really improve their game. So what I did, I decided to start doing videos, and then finally I realized what I really should do is just put together a whole training system, and I've been working on one for about 5 years now, and I have a forerunner video called the One Day Miracle Swing, which is just putting the swing together in three easy pieces that you train and learn. All tournament professionals do this. They use a mirror and they practice their swings over and over, certain parts of the swings, until they groove them. So I decided to do this, and I'm just about to launch this training product online. It's called Golf Swing Mastery. It'll be at golfswingmastery.com. But the reason that I thought it would work is that back about maybe 10 years ago, they brought a child actor, Mason Gamble, to me and told me he looked like Tiger Woods in 2 months. So I didn't know how to do that.
Good luck.
What's that?
I said that's good luck with that, right?
So anyways, they brought it to me. So I just put it together piece by piece, three pieces, the grip, the hand-arm action, the turns. I gave him drills. He went home and did it. And the amazing thing is, if you watch the movie, it's called A Gentleman's Game, you'll see that his swing really looked terrific. But the amazing thing is he actually, after a two-month period, he could really hit the ball. I remember one time he hit 2 3-wood shots from 230 yards on the green. This is a skinny 14-year-old kid. So that sparked my interest in trying to put together a training system. And pretty much this is what I've done. So I'm looking forward to putting it out there. The Miracle Swing training DVDs have been popular, but this one is really terrific. It's just an A to Z complete golf swing training system that anybody can learn from, can't miss. Trains each part of the swing, puts it together, faults and fixes, the whole thing. So I'm very excited about it and got some training aids that I developed with it. I'm not sure how much time we got, but I can share one of the stories about
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah, we've got time.
Well, I knew how to teach people how to hit the ball far. I had a couple of drills, and almost everybody that came to me, I could get them to hit the ball farther. But I wasn't sure how to train for accuracy. But one day I was at the golf course, and it was a windy day, so people were canceling lessons, and I had an old training pipe. It was actually a galvanized pipe that I used as a weighted training tool when I was in college. And I picked that up and I said, you know, what if I just try to train the club face to stay square through the hitting zone for a bunch of swings here? And I took about 50 swings of this thing, and my hands were burning, but I kept the club face straight when I was swinging it through the hitting zone. And to my amazement, I picked up my driver. I had to rest a little bit. My hands were burning. But to my amazement, I hit about 200. I just kept hitting the drives perfectly straight. I couldn't believe it. So I thought I found the holy grail of golf. So I decided to start to try to develop a product for this. And I gave people the pipe and had them use it. And some of my students know the effect of it and how helpful it is. But I developed a training aid that we eventually called the Beast. And it's the Beast because it wears your hands out. But I've been using it with my students, and it definitely helps reinforce all these drills that I do and helps improve the game. So I'm excited about that, too. So I got a few training products coming out with this system and getting ready to launch in the next few months. So take a look for it. It's golfswingmastery.com.
Kenny, Bill Berger here. You come from a pedigree family, buddy. You know, anything Kenny left with you, you know, your dad Ken, which I knew good, and big brother Doug, you know, didn't they put their 2 cents in?
Absolutely. Nobody learns this game on their own. My dad was certainly helpful, especially in the short game arena, which let me keep going, actually. And my brother, you know, always had been, you know, an eye for my swing and got me started. And basically the principles that I teach now are the same principles that he taught me, and I'd say how many years ago, but it was a long time ago. Just refined and, with a lot of practice and seeing people do different things and be able to integrate those into people's swings and help them play better golf.
You know, Gary, I almost never recognize you because I'm always thinking I'm looking at the 13 or 15-year-old kid that I ever first saw when I met you. You know what I mean? I never, you're gaining on me, buddy.
So, Gary, now with the golfswingmastery.com, you had mentioned that's going to be coming out. For people and, you know, everybody that's listening to this show, everybody wants to improve their golf game. How can we get more information about that? Just go to the website, and then once we go to the website, I'll talk about when it's going to come out?
Yeah, no, it's not. That website's not even up yet, but it will be coming up. But I have a number of tips on, actually I developed a Christian ministry website called swing-masters.com. And I've got about 30 tips that are exclusive to that site that are in there, so anybody can go on swing-masters.com and check out videos that I have there, and there'll be some other stuff being posted in the future. And I have some things on YouTube, too, that I can do. And anybody that needs a lesson, come on over to Oak Brook. Our golf course is in fantastic shape. We got one of the best ranges in the area, and we got a great teaching staff. If you can't get in to see me, we have Dan Kochevar and Jeff Gahua and Ian Grant, and we just have a terrific bunch of Trey Van Dykes. We have a terrific bunch of guys back there, and we're developing some good players.
There's no doubt about it, Gary. One of the nice things I like about Oak Brook as well as the White Pines Golf Dome, when you go over there, a lot of people take lessons, people take the game seriously, and there's a lot of junior players as well. I think that's really one of the changes that I've seen compared to when we were growing up. Most of the young, strong players, they've got a regular golf coach, whereas maybe it wasn't quite the case, back 30, 40 years ago, right?
Yeah, we didn't even take lessons. Hardly anybody took lessons. And now with video, you can develop a lot faster because we can see the club face in a slow motion video, so you know exactly what's happening. Corrections can be made a lot easier. So it's the wave of the future, and it will continue. We'll continue to use more and more technology to help develop faster. And that's one of the reasons why I did Golf Swing Mastery, because there's no real contained system for learning that, you know, do it this way. You got all you know, need to know, and you can do it. And that's why I did it. And technology like this is going to continue to come out because people want to learn the game faster and have more fun.
It's 9:35, and you're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio. We're speaking with the 2014 Instructor of the Year for the Illinois PGA, Gary Pins. And, hey, Gary, once again, Ed Stevenson here. Congratulations on being honored and recognized, well-deserved. And you've mentioned some of the videos and the swinging aids coming up. You know, you also mentioned that really the fundamentals of the game hasn't changed. In a lot of ways, I imagine over the years of teaching, people's time and maybe the way to connect with people is what's changed perhaps more than the athletic fundamentals. So how do you perceive changes not only in juniors but in adults in their ability to connect with those fundamentals?
Well, there's a lot of information. Deciphering information is difficult. We have YouTube. You can go on, get tips on YouTube from just about anybody. And there's a proliferation of instructors throughout the world, golf magazines. There's just a ton of information and trying to sort it all out. Yes, the fundamentals are the same. You know, Arnold Palmer was a great player as Tiger Woods. Maybe not, you know, quite the same, but the players could certainly play the game back then. Ben Hogan is still a legend, and we just have to find better and faster ways to develop and learn and get the game going so we stay with it. The game's hard. People give up easily because it's difficult. And making it easier to learn and simpler is, you know, my intention. And then my whole golf swing training system is based on three simple things that you learn and integrate. So that's what I think needs to be done. The junior players are better because there's more good athletes. There's more kids enjoying the game. Tiger Woods put a fire under a lot of kids' tails to get them out there and work at it. And it's just attracting a lot more athletic people. So the game is getting, as you can see in the tournament this week, you know, how far they're under par on a great golf course like that.
Yeah, pretty.
There are a lot of terrific players.
Pretty.
And I think it's due to the equipment, but also to the capabilities we have with technology to develop the game.
Right. Well, hey, Gary, as always, great to have you on our show. For those people that are looking to get a lesson, you had mentioned you're out at Oakbrook Golf Course in the summertime, the White Pines Golf Dome in the wintertime. Keep an eye out for golfswingmastery.com and as well as the YouTube videos that you have out there. And congratulations again for being named 2014 Illinois PGA Teacher of the Year, and thanks for being on.
Congratulations, Gary.
Appreciate it, guys.
Once again, thanks. That was Gary Pins, 2014 Instructor of the Year. And, yeah, well-deserved honor, guys. I want to remind you that this segment's been sponsored by Cantini Golf in Wheaton, home of the 2014 Illinois State Amateur Championship and the upcoming Chicago Open this October. Visit CantiniGolf.com. And with that, guys, let's head into our next break, and we'll come back with more Golfers on Golf.
First, let's talk about Cantini Golf in Wheaton. The place is a golfer's paradise. 27 beautiful holes, a year-round golf academy, and even a nine-hole course just for kids. The best caddy program around, plus terrific hospitality, are like icing on the cake. For every kind of golfer, including those just learning the game, it's always a great day at Cantini. Check it out. Book a tee time today. CantiniGolf.com. That's CantiniGolf.com.
The best players in the world will compete at Erin Hills near Milwaukee, the site of the 2017 U.S. Open. In the meanwhile, don't miss your chance to play a public access U.S. Open course. Just a two-hour drive from Chicago, Erin Hills is perfect for a day trip or an overnight golf getaway with a variety of rooms, suites, cottages, and wonderful food. Visit erinhills.com for more information and plan a world-class experience.
When you win national awards like Golf Magazine's Renovation of the Year, Golf Digest's Best New Course Renovation, and Golf Range Magazine's Top 50 Ranges, you know that you've done something right. Mistwood Golf Club, highlighted by a 67-acre rock-walled lake and St. Andrews-style sod wall bunkers. Mistwood brings a feeling of Scotland to the Midwest. Mistwood's changes include added tour length, completely redesigned third hole with an island-feeling green, new state-of-the-art performance center featuring teaching tools that the tour players use, like TrackMan, Sam Putlab, FlightScope, and Quintech Ball Roll Analysis System. Completely custom fit and built golf clubs. We can match any manufacturer's head with any manufacturer's shaft. Mistwood has the distinct honor of the highest rating for Illinois golf courses by Golf Digest, Best Places to Play. Some tee times are available, but they're filling fast, so don't delay. You can book online at mistwoodgc.com or call 815-254-3333. Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville. Significantly renovated, completely perfected.
You know, whenever you're confident and you have some momentum on your side, it's easier to do what I did today, rather than, you know, if everything's sort of going against you and you're struggling for form and you have a little patch like that, and, you know, it's not so easy to get on a birdie run again. But just where I am with my golf game right now, I'm hitting the ball great. I'm you know, seeing good shots.
Everybody knows that golf is not an easy game. When the further fourth winds blow, it's such a breezy game. Often they will quickly wipe the smile right off your face. You'll need more than extra glue to keep your tan in place. So keep your head down and your chin up, arms straight, and shift your weight properly. While stepping on the tee, be wearing your spectacles for the long shots. But don't make a spectacle out of yourself, or you'll feel smaller than an elf. Don't stand too close to the ball after you've hit it. Practice morning, noon, and night, eventually you'll get it. Learn to take the bad with the good. Remember, your shafts are made of wood. Not every shot goes in the cup. So keep your head down and your chin up, up, up. Keep your head down and your chin up.
Once again, that was Larry Nestor, my good friend. Keep your head down and your chin up. I absolutely love that song. Good way to start off the morning, huh?
Well, it's Sports Psychology 101 put to music for golfers there. So, yeah, probably everything we've read from Bob Rotella over the years just put to music there. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, guys, we've got a wonderful PGA Championship going on right now. Lots of great names at the leaderboard. Obviously, Rory McIlroy is one up on Weisberger, an unknown. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he'll do, the German or the Belgium
unknown player. Unknown here, a little better known.
That's
on the
true.
European
That's a
Tour.
Good point.
And, Australian player. He's
Austrian.
Actually
Austrian.
Austrian. Austrian. Austrian. Yeah, exactly.
Forgive me on that, and you know, but I understand
that's from the German.
I knew I'd be corrected by Berger, by yeah. Billy Berger. The he's a sixth appearance in a major, guys, and I guess he tied for 64th in one of them. He's missed the cut in the others, and now of course he's tied for second heading into Sunday, and paired with a little known Rory McIlroy.
This is what Gary Pins was talking about, athletes. I guess he's a skier, you know, fabulous skier, you know, so that sure helps the leg action a little, I think, you know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how he does. I think there's some really good stories here. I mean, here you got him. He's one behind McIlroy. How will he perform, you know, before the big crowd? Obviously, you know, when you're at the top of the leaderboard, you know, it's hard enough, but when you're in the last group with Rory,
right,
major championship, I mean, is he going to shoot an 80 or is he going to come back with a 65 like he did on Saturday? Then you got Ricky Fowler looking to win his first major. Phil Mickelson, you know, this is going to be one of his last chances to win a major championship.
Hold it there. Let's you know, you mentioned the great stories, and before we get too far off of Ricky Fowler, I mean, how good has he been this year in the majors? He's tied for second twice. He's not finished outside of the top five. So, you know, I might be mentioning some of that because he was, of course, my pick last time we were picking winners for the majors. And our golf nut producer, Big John Vick, did chime in and mention that if we had picked last week, he was still going with Rory McIlroy, who, of course, he won with at the previous major, which was the British Open. So, Big John, you still going with Rory McIlroy? Are you going out on a limb there?
Oh, I'm not. No, it's not on a limb. You know, it's amazing when you get rid of some baggage what happens to you and how your game comes around. Don't let them women get to you. You know, you start dating a tennis star, and she no longer want you to play golf, and then it gets to your head, and you know, then you start letting other brains think around there.
So hey, John, I need to go shopping rather than practice.
Yeah.
John, can you
don't
play
get
that?
Go too ahead. Much knowledge in here because, you know, we don't want Rory McIlroy grabbing you away from us to be his manager now. Take it easy.
Speaking of managers, Big John, I know station management has that mandatory clip about the opinions expressed may not be those of the state. I think we may need to run that again mid-show here. But, you know, Mike, like you said, the storylines are awesome. You mentioned Phil Mickelson. I think I'll use words you said could be some of his last. I don't know. I think still Phil still has some gas in the tank. So certainly his last chance this year. But, you know, obviously he's closer to the end of that, real competitive window than the beginning.
Yeah. You know what? I like listening to Phil's interviews. He's obviously very fired up. He thinks he can win it. He's playing some great golf. When he's a confident player, and he's a confident player right now, he's about as hard to beat as anybody. I'd put Rory at the top of the list. You know, Rory's either hit or miss. And when he's hitting at 320, 330 down the middle with his driver and hitting the ball well, he's almost unbeatable. He's almost like Tiger Woods. But I think you could say the same thing about Phil Mickelson. When he's playing well, he plays well. And I think it's going to be an unbelievable finish today. It starts, about 2 o'clock for the last group, 155. So right around 6 o'clock, we'll know who the winner is.
Well, and in the 145 pairing, it is Ricky Fowler with Phil Mickelson. I think what's intriguing about that and plays well, really plays to the advantage of both players, is that they enjoy playing together. They've been they've been one of the more memorable pairings in the Ryder Cup, and you have an older Phil Mickelson who seems to just love the energy of a younger, in some ways, flashier Ricky Fowler. So going to be interesting to see, although they're competing and not partners, it's going to be interesting to see if that actually buoys the effort for both of them. But, Billy, from your time in competitive golf, the pairing makes a difference?
Oh, Eddie, it's a untalked about thing, being paired with a guy you're comfortable with, just the style of play of a person, whether he's a fast or a slow player, and you're somewhere in between, or you're a pretty fast player and you get paired with a slow player. It's more than ever talked about, and nobody complains about it because, hey, that's your job, and, get with it. Either you can cut it or you can't, and I agree with you on Mickelson and Fowler. I think they're about the same rhythm as each other, and Keegan Bradley a little. I don't know about him backing off and jumping around. Mickelson seems to like him, too, he sure can play, but the rhythm and style of play is more than meets the eye, for sure.
Yeah, let's not forget also that Phil Mickelson's still playing. He's number 10 in the Ryder Cup points right now, so he's still playing for a spot to get on the Ryder Cup as well.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. He's going to play no matter what. He could shoot 80 today, and he's going to play. But it would be nice for him to qualify.
It would be nice for him to get in with that. Would he be a captain's pick? I think, of course, he would. But you're right. It would just
even it's called
more
ego.
That's how you want to get in.
Speaking of ego, we're talking, of course, about the fun pairings we're going to watch this afternoon. There's Mike Monroe. There might be space on your couch if one Mr. Tiger Woods wants to join to watch the play this afternoon. He didn't make the cut. He played maybe a little bit unexpected since he had dropped out recently with a back injury. From the other recent event, Tiger shoots a pair of 74s and doesn't make the cut. Obviously, he's 200 and something in the FedEx point standing. So a disappointing season for Tiger Woods. And I don't know, have we seen the last of him breaking through to win a major?
Well, you know, there was even some talk about him being a captain pick. But I think we all agree that there's no chance right now. I mean, he obviously played poorly at the PGA. He seemed to be hobbling out there a little bit with a back injury. I don't see any way in the world that Watson's going to choose him. You know, why would you choose somebody who's not playing well and he's, you could even say he's injury prone. So we won't be seeing Tiger at the Ryder Cup. It'll be interesting to see who we do see. You know, there's a lot of people who I think deservedly have, you know, should be selected. And I think Keegan Bradley, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's just out of the pick selection, so I think he'd be one of the people that Watson would probably choose for sure. And then there's a couple of people were talking about Stricker with his experience, but Stricker had kind of a poor performance at the last Ryder Cup, and it didn't sound like he wanted to be selected again after 2012 when he played so poorly. But that's another story for another show. And I'm looking forward, guys, to the actual tournament this afternoon. I'm going to pull up the couch and make sure the TV's set at the right angle and have a good lemonade in front of me and see what happens.
I think Steve Stricker is also at risk of missing the PGA Championship, the FedEx Cup Championship as well, for the first time since the FedEx Cup trophy has been put in place.
You know, I'm hearing phrases like Stricker being a part-time player. I applaud him what he's doing and what he wants to do. You know, if you don't want to go to the Open, then you shouldn't go to the Open, you know.
Well, I think there's more to the story. You know, I had the chance to visit with our usual fourth, Rory Spears, during the week. And, of course, he is out there between our broadcasts filling the blog with information. It's at golfersongolf.com. And he's rubbing elbows with all the media types being part of that world. And I think there's some talk about, injury to Steve Stricker maybe being more significant, more lingering than anyone really knows the full story on. So I'm sure if there's more to that, eventually it will come out on our very own website, golfersongolf.com, and Rory will continue covering those items from the golf world, and particularly the Chicago area, on golfersongolf.com. So certainly check us out during the week, and more from Mr. Rory Spears on that.
Hey, guys, we've got another good local golf story happening here. Actually, it's on the web.com tour, so you maybe would argue that it's not local, but one of the people who is at the top of the list, Carlos Sainz, he's shot 66-65 the last two rounds, is right near the top. Wonderful guy, played a lot of junior golf in Chicago, won last year's Chicago Open, and it would be nice to see him break through and win his first web.com event. He won out on the Canadian Tour a year or two ago, and is a wonderful guy. And if he could win out there, I think his chances of getting on the regular PGA Tour are pretty good.
Well, that's a big step, winning both Canada and here. You know, I'm sure that's exciting. That's what you're looking for, the certain schedule you can get out of that, and easier travel, you know. That has to help your game too, you know.
Yeah, you know what? He's at 201. There's three people one stroke ahead of him at 200. But he goes 70, 66, 65. So he made an incredible comeback. It'd be nice to see him finish another 65
looks like
or
par
66.
Is about 68 now, Eddie. 67.
Par has changed a little bit, Billy. I know, and you know the courses keep getting longer and longer, and the scores keep getting better and better. So, pretty interesting. I know. I thought it was fascinating last week. We had our guest Kerry Williams from the Illinois Junior Golf Association, and we talked about the state of golf. And of course, there's been a lot of discussion, you know, particularly in print lately, of how's golf doing? Is it is the decline that we saw, or the perceived decline from 2005 to 2010, the the new direction for golf, or is it in fact growing? And of course, you know, Gary Pins mentioned it, Kerry Williams with the IJGA, the Illinois Junior Golf Association mentioned it last week. There are lots of athletes that are coming into this game, and of course, Billy, you just mentioned it, the new par. These athletes are really having a pretty positive impact on golf and the future of golf. And I got to say, you guys, I was amazed reading a Golf Digest story about the relative health of golf. You know, back in the 1960s, there were 5 million golfers in this country, and here we are today at over 25 million. So, you know, during a stretch at which the population has grown by 75% in the United States, you've got growth of what is that, 500% in golf. I think if you take a long-term perspective, that's pretty amazing. And if we're attracting more athletes to this game, what does the future look like?
Yeah, you know, I actually think it's pretty good. You know, a lot of people ask why the downturn. I think probably the biggest reason why there was a downturn, guys, was, face it, it's an expensive sport to play. And when you have one of the worst recessions of all time, maybe the worst recession of all time, you know, only 5, 6, 7 years ago, you would expect a downturn in golf. People were working harder. People were out of work. And they were uncertain whether or not they were going to be working. And one thing with the game of golf, it's expensive. It takes a long time to play. And if you're not sure you're going to have a job next week or next year, you're probably going to lay off of some things that are somewhat expensive. And golf wasn't a real easy thing to lay off of.
I really think that we just haven't recovered from when people had to stop doing things in order to save money. People were losing jobs. And I really think those people haven't gotten back into the game as much as we were hoping that they would come back once the economy started picking up. We just haven't recovered from that. I think in a couple more years, we will recover from it, and it'll be as strong as ever.
Well, no doubt, and part, you know, things that speak to that, based on the research done, while there are currently about 25 million golfers, there's another 26 million people that have an interest in playing golf. The question for the industry is, why aren't they playing? And a lot of it does speak to time and the economy, but you start to compare recreational options, and for a family of four to head out to a decent public golf course and spend quite a few hours of the day, you know, the cost for that family of four to go out there, if you compare that to them going down to Wrigley Field this afternoon, paying for parking, paying for hot dogs and pops to spend what unfortunately has become 5 hours to watch a baseball game at this point, and you know, pay premium price for tickets, I think golf starts to stack up as a relative value.
Not to mention sitting in traffic afterwards and trying to get out of those parking lots afterwards. It adds up, and you're right.
Absolutely. So, you know, part of it is, you know, figuring out what some of those barriers might be to participate in and how to get those 26 million that have said they want to play to play. You know, on that note, you know, recently read a stat on the millennials, some of these 18 to 34-year-olds, there are fewer playing right now than there were in the 1990s. But conversely, when you compare their income to what it was in the 1990s, their income actually is a little lower right now, too. So economic recovery and the ability for some of these people to have the afford the free time to go play, I think, is going to be a big part of where we see a latent response and growth in the game of golf.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I really like about my wife is a Wheatland. And when they go play golf as a family when they're on vacation, not only is it the brothers, but it's the father, the wives, the grandkids. They go out there. There's about 11 of us that hit the golf course, and it's truly fun, and it's a learning experience for the young ones. For the older ones, you know, it's fairly competitive, and one of the nice things is the golf course they play, a wonderful golf course in Southwest Michigan. The green fees are very inexpensive. You can take about, you know, three foursomes out there if you include the kids, and it's about $200. So that's how do you beat that?
You know, as a young assistant golf professional going back, even to country club people, I was at a club where the were small businesses, a lot of small businessmen. They spent the whole day at the country club. They came there on a Saturday, and they were there from Saturday morning till evening, ate dinner, and then repeated on Sunday, and that was a way of life there, and I think that's gone from golf. you know, where the Eustatius opulent clubhouse people
right.
stayed,
right.
And even as far as I say this jokingly, but all males played gin rummy. There was a partner game in golf. There was a sit down partner. So that also, you know, opted for two full days at that club. Now when you being at a even an all males club playing a couple weeks ago, they just get in their car and leave now. You know,
yeah.
there's like
yeah,
there's too much you know, family or time involved, and even grandparents now that used to be in that era of a small businessman, they're gone.
It's a different type of time management. The good thing is there's some great getaways, and you know, certainly even our, you know, you listen to some of our sponsors, great trips to take into Wisconsin. I want to remind everyone this segment was sponsored by the golf courses of Lasonia in Green Lake, Wisconsin, now under the management of Oliphant Golf. Play the courses that members of Chicago's top private clubs go north to play.
Wonderful golf courses.
Yep, see Lasonia.com. And hey, with that, guys, I want to thank Big John Vick, and of course, want to thank our guests. It was great to talk to Jay Blasi and Gary Pins. And, hey, always fun to spend an hour with you guys. We'll be back here 9 o'clock next Sunday. So check us out at golfersongolf.com. Until